Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, October 22, 2023, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We continue in Romans 6, verse 15, and in this verse the Apostle Paul is answering the question, does grace give us the license to sin? And the Apostle Paul starts out with a phrase, tiun. We have it up on the overhead. Tiun. And this is a very special formula that the Apostle Paul uses again and again and again. One of his favorite expressions. And you may translate it, what then are we to conclude? Or therefore, what are we to conclude? Or therefore, what conclusion are we forced to make? And then we have, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? And this is the aorist active subjunctive of hamartano plus the conjunction hati, plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi with the objective negative uk, and then the prepositional phrase hupa plus the accusative of namas, the conjunction Allah, and hupa plus the accusative of karis. The verb hamartano, we get our noun hamartia, sin, and in the singular, sin nature, and here is hamartano, the verb. That's H-A-M-A-R-T-A-N long O, hamartano. And hamartano is the verb that means to sin. Now, in classical Greek, the Bible is written in Koine Greek, that is the Greek of the common man. In classical Greek, hamartano literally meant to miss the mark. That's what how it was translated, to miss the mark. And personal sin is missing the mark of the holiness of God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That makes up the holiness of God. And this right here, absolute righteousness, is the perfect standard. And so hamartano, sinning, is missing the mark of the absolute standard, the righteousness of God. And really, this is what is being said in Romans 3:23. You probably all know it, but turn back for a moment to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, this is referring to the entire human race, and fall short of the glory of God. Now, the glory of God is referring specifically to the absolute standard, the absolute righteousness of God. So it says, for all have sinned, all mankind have sinned, and we all have fallen short of the righteousness of God. That's the status of every unbeliever from physical birth to that moment of faith in Christ. So, hamartano, to transgress, to sin, to do wrong. The aorist tense is the constative aorist, viewing all of our personal sins in their entirety. The active voice, the believer performs the action of committing personal sins. And the subjunctive mood is the deliberative subjunctive. And in the deliberative subjunctive, a rhetorical question can be asked, or deliberation may be suggested. That's the deliberative subjunctive. And then we have the conjunction hati. H-O-T-I, hati. And this is hati used as the causal conjunction, correctly translated, because. And then the to be verb ami with the objective negative uk, because we are not. Because we are not. And then hupa plus the accusative, and you've already been brought up to snuff on this, hupa plus the accusative. Hupa plus the accusative means under the power or under the rule or under the command of the nomos, the law, specifically the Mosaic law. And then the conjunction Allah, the conjunction of contrast, but, and then hupa plus the accusative of charis, but under grace. So, corrected translation. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace? And then the Apostle Paul answers this with a phrase again, which is one of his favorite ones. Right along with ti'un, he uses me genoita. And I'll give you that, how it looks in the Greek. Me genoita, there's the negative me, am long e, and then this is the optative of genomai. I'll put it up just the way it's up here, G-E-N-O-I-T-O. That's the optative voice. Me genoita. Now, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 518, tells us that me genoita is also a very special formula that is used to express a warning. To express a warning. And the Apostle Paul uses this strong negation only after rhetorical questions, as in our verse. So literally, you would translate it, let it not be so, or may it not come to pass. However, Arndt and Gingrich says that that's not how it should be translated. You don't translate this literally. This is an idiom. And it should be translated emphatically not, or definitely not, or that is totally unthinkable. I've heard other pastors use other things to translate it, but we're going to stick with one of these. This is the strongest negative in the Word of God. So the corrected translation. Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace? Emphatically not. That is totally unthinkable. All right? One. Grace is the policy of God for mankind. Our God is the God of grace. Grace emphasizes who and what God is, not who and what we are, but who and what God is. And grace is the policy of God for mankind. Two, no divine policy can ever lead us to sin or motivate us to sin. No divine policy can ever lead to temptation to sin, cannot motivate to sin. Three, God is the author of grace, not the sin nature. The sin nature provides temptation to sin. God is the author of grace. The sin nature provides temptation to sin. Four. In Romans 6, verse 15, our verse, the Apostle Paul is giving a warning. He says it is absolutely unthinkable to say that grace gives us the license to sin. So in Romans 6:15, the Apostle Paul is giving a warning to all of us. It's absolutely unthinkable to say that grace gives us the license to sin. Five, in this rhetorical question, we have a false assumption of two antithetical failures, false doctrines. One is legalism, and the other is antinomianism. Legalism and antinomianism, antithetical. Some of you said, how do you spell antinomianism? That's good enough. No. Antinomianism. Six. To the legalist, grace always appears as a license to sin. To the legalist, grace always appears as a license to sin. Seven. To the antinomian, grace always appears as an excuse to sin. As an excuse for sin. So to the legalist, grace always appears as a license to sin. To the antinomian, grace always appears as an excuse for sin. And of course, neither one is correct. Both legalism and antinomianism are distortions of the grace of God. It is not the Bible, the grace of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God does not teach legalism nor antinomianism. Eight, such distortions can only be corrected by fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18, the mandate is for us to grow up, spiritual growth, to grow up spiritually. In what? In grace. To grow up in grace orientation. And not just grace orientation, but to grow up spiritually in knowledge, doctrinal orientation. To grow up spiritually in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So such distortions can only be corrected by fulfilling the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means finding a sound Bible teaching church that teaches the grace and truth of the Word of God, and be as consistent and faithful as possible to learn and believe the Word of God. Learn it, believe it. When you learn it and believe it, it enters your heart. And when the grace and truth of the Word of God enters your heart, then you will not fall for legalism or antinomianism. As you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you will get more and more and more of the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures into your heart. That results in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. So again, verse 15 says, therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law, but under grace? Emphatically not. That is totally unthinkable. All right, let's summarize this again. One, acts of personal sin do not increase grace blessings from God. Acts of personal sin do not increase grace blessings from God. Two, rather they increase discipline from God. Rather they increase discipline from God. Acts of personal sin do not increase grace blessing from God. Rather they increase discipline from God. Three, being under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and His policy of grace does not encourage us to sin. Being under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and His policy of grace does not encourage us to sin. Four, rather, we are motivated to live the unique spiritual life He has for us in the church age. To live this unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to grow up and attain spiritual maturity, to attain grace righteousness, and that glorifies God to the maximum. And that's why we're here. We're here to glorify God to the maximum. We're here to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance the spiritual maturity. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. And that virtue love, which we are studying again in our Thursday night class in 1 John, that virtue love, first of all, personal love for God the Father. That's the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And the third is personal love for God the Son, Jesus Christ, which we call occupation with Christ. And the other side of the coin there is sharing the happiness of God. That's the ultimate objective. That's why we're here. When you have this, well, there were Pharisees and Sadducees who did not believe in Jesus Christ at all. And they thought that they would test Him. And so they went to test Him. They were unbelievers, but they thought they were experts. Experts on the Word of God. They thought they, if anybody was going to be in heaven, they were going to be in heaven. They weren't even saved. So they said, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the greatest commandment. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. What did he give? Virtue love. What did he teach? Virtue love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Impersonal love for all. Well, they just walked away. They had no answer. That's why we are here. You're here to, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. And you glorify God to the maximum. We're not here that long on this earth. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. We're a vapor. We're a mist. But we're here to glorify God to the maximum. And this is how you do it. Five. Sin originates from the sin nature. Now, we all have that sin nature. It's still inside of us in our body. And it's still sending temptation up. But you don't have to place yourself back under rulership of the sin nature. You have a free will. You are also indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. There's a war going on inside of you between the sin nature and God the Holy Spirit as to who is going to, who are you going to put yourself under authority to? And that's clear in Galatians 5. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. And, of course, Galatians is the great epistle that deals with the subject of legalism. So Paul says, I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. That's the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lusts of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other. There's a war going on inside of you. You are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. And now you have already had the sin nature in your body. Now you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And the war is going on as to who is going to be the power source for your life. Are you going to live by the energy, human energy of the flesh, the sin nature, or are you going to live by the power of God the Holy Spirit and live the spiritual life? They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So sin originates from the sin nature, and grace originates from the essence of the living and true God. Six, the holiness of God, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is the source of both discipline and blessing to each one of us. And every one of you sitting here, everyone has been disciplined by God. Is there anybody here who has never been disciplined by God because you are sinless perfection? Well, don't stand up. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. What the righteousness of God demand, the justice of God executes. What the righteousness of God accepts, the justice of God blesses. And everyone in here has been blessed by God because you've made good decisions. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You've made good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the righteousness of God accepts that. And the justice of God sends phenomenal blessings to you. What the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God judges. So when you get out of fellowship with God, when you get into Satan's cosmic system, now the righteousness of God rejects that, and the justice of God must discipline you. And he starts out with warning discipline to try to get you to wake up. If you don't wake up from that, he gives you intensive discipline. And if you don't wake up from that, he'll bring you under dying discipline. That is because what you're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're out of fellowship with God. And the righteousness of God rejects that, and so the justice of God must judge that. God never changes. He's immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he always operates with us based on his absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So point six, the holiness of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, is the source of both discipline and blessing to each one of us as believers. Seven, the believer cannot sin with impunity. There is always discipline. The believer cannot sin with impunity. There is always discipline. So, point eight. Grace does not mean that God won't discipline and punish us for our sins. Grace does not mean that God won't discipline and punish us for our sins. Nine, being under the authority of grace and not under the authority of the Mosaic law does not imply that the righteousness and justice of God no longer administers divine discipline to the believer. Being under the authority of grace and not under the authority of the Mosaic law does not imply that the righteousness and justice of God no longer administers divine discipline to the believer. Ten, God punishes sinfulness living in the cosmic system, and God blesses the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. God punishes sinfulness, and God blesses the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling 2 Peter 3:18. 11, therefore, being under the grace policy of God does not give us the license to sin. Therefore, being under the grace policy of God does not give us the license to sin. So verse 15, therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law but under grace? Emphatically not. Meganoita. That is totally unthinkable. And now we had it all pulled together. Great. We'll start at verse 16 next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.